Coming up this week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to Drive-Thru Society.
My name's Greg.
This is Meg.
Kathy.
And this is Michael.
We are Drive-Thru Society.
And if you're going to rock,
rock for him!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Rock for Him podcast. I'm Jeremy, your host, a.k.a. the big guy, big boy, whatever. And with me is my brother, my co-host, my ministry partner, Jason Sanchez-Bukowski. Bro, how's it going?
I am exhausted, but I'm good. I'm excited for tonight.
I am, too. So, welcome back, our good friends, Drive Thru Society. Guys, it's so good to see you guys.
Hello.
Yeah. So, the last time you guys were on, it was just before your album dropped. So, what's been new with you guys since then?
Oh man, We had a really busy summer, but it's been awesome. We've enjoyed every second of it.
So lots of traveling,
but we've met tons of new people. We actually got to meet you in person over at Kingdom Come Fest, hung out for 2 days straight. It was so great. It was so awesome.
It was.
Yeah, we've been playing in Oklahoma and Missouri and Wisconsin and Indiana. And it's been really cool. And our van has made it each time.
I survived.
Thank you, Lord. So.
Well, I got to say, as someone that's, you know, followed you guys for a while, it is awesome seeing how you guys have been blowing up recently.
Thank you.
We have big news today.
Uh-huh. We had a big goal today.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
right.
We hit 10,000 monthly listeners on Spotify today.
Today.
That's a huge milestone for us. So today's a really good day.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And like I said, it you know, listen, I'm not going to say we had anything to do with it because we did not. but it makes me smile when I see people that I consider family and friends just out there absolutely crushing it. And that's the way you guys are. Like, everything you guys have done, it just makes me smile. Seeing the pictures from concerts, seeing the videos, seeing your guys' TikToks, just everything, the music that you guys have been releasing. Like, I'm like the proud dad over here. Everything, every single song that you have released since we guys have met you has just gotten better and better and better.
Oh, thank you.
Wait for the new
like Meg was saying, like, it is like a lot of small moving parts. Like, yes. I even see like Jeremy's posts of like bands that he's listening to, and it's like, you know, I'll see us pop up on there. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
You know?
In the beginning of this journey, maybe Meg and I talked about it like the first time we were on, not that many moons ago, but we just started with the mentality of loaves and fishes. Like, whatever God can take, whatever little things we have in the beginning. And we're still like a very small band in the big picture, but for us, like, this little incremental growth, even if like each one of our TikTok posts only get like one or two followers, it's still one or two followers, like, one day at a time. And we're just happy that God is, that we're in this with him. And it's, and you guys and all of us together, like, we're just slowly building this for his kingdom and his glory because there's no point other than that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for allowing us to be just a small part of that, honestly.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. We couldn't do it without you guys.
So let's talk about the new album, Thresholds. How has the response been? I mean, you guys know how I feel about it. I think for me, it's going to be my top album of the year.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, what a huge compliment. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's been really cool. You know, like you release singles and every single kind of has its own like life. And then you release the whole album and you're hoping that everybody kind of like latches on and loves it as much as you do. And I really feel like overall, most of it's been extremely positive. We've gotten some recognition from some really big like metal promotion pages. Shout out Kingdom Core, thank you. And just, you know, being able to like kind of make some connections in the metal scene with bands that are doing really well and just, you know, kind of like supporting one another. Like we're not gatekeeping like fans or anything. Like everybody's like really family oriented. They want to share your stuff because they want to see you succeed. And so, yeah, the album has been, I feel like, really well received. And, you know, we were talking the other night, there was a band we played with earlier this year, not in the Christian scene, that kind of like made fun of us at a show for selling physical CDs. And we were like, well, that's just what we're going to do. And I mean, we've sold like physical CDs, not streaming, physical copies of our CD. We've sold like 150 to 200, maybe. I haven't done the math, but I mean, like, that's huge in a scene for a tiny band that, you know, where physical media isn't as popular. I mean, I felt like even that alone was a big, you know, testament.
Conversation of just a few months.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, my mom, when I was telling her about how, like, that we were ordering CDs, she was like, why? Why would you do that? And just at Life Fest in Wisconsin alone, over 2 days, we sold 64 CDs. And it blew us away, too. Like, we weren't expecting that either. So, like, and the old one, and the Soteria EP from 10 years ago. So, like, that's, we're pumped about all of that. Like,
yeah.
We couldn't be happier.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
There's something about a physical CD because, all right, listen, I stream everything, but there's something about having that physical CD. Like if I go on iTunes and download your music, when I go to your show, I will buy the CD because there's something about it. I mean, if you guys had it,
better your audio quality. Streaming has it cuts down on the frequency response and sample rates and stuff. So getting the album, it's not as high a quality as a vinyl, but it definitely sounds much better than streaming it.
And also, like, vinyls degrade over time. So I think, like, CD is probably the best overall.
Bring it back!
But there's something to be said for having a vinyl, though. Like, I'm telling you right now, if you guys had a copy on vinyl, I'd be the first one in line to buy it. I
we may do a run later.
Yeah.
Not in the works right now, but maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll put it in the under consideration list.
Yes. Yeah. Our considerations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice.
I think so, the set, you know.
No. No.
So tell us about KCF. Was this the first time you guys were there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. I have not been there yet. Every time I make plans to go, something comes up and I end up not going. Tell us about your experience.
Yeah, it's worth it 100%. It was a lot of fun. We got to, you know, like a lot of times when you go to a show or like a festival, you kind of feel like not all the bands are present, you know, and you get to kind of, sometimes you see a merch table for your favorite band and then the next day maybe that merch table's gone. But like KCF, like everybody set up in this huge like barn, and it's a nice covered like cement. It's not like a, you know, not like a Texas barn where it's dirt. Full of hay and dirt, but it's got, you know, covering and lighting. And so it doesn't matter if it's, you know, afternoon or in the morning or at midnight, like it's bright in there. And then all the bands are hanging out, you know, they're all in walking reach and you'll usually see them walking around. And hospitality is amazing. There's really good food that you can buy. And so it's just, and then, I mean, we got the awesome treatment of you know, the weather being like 75 degrees.
The Lord shine down.
Beautiful breeze, clear skies, you know, it was just like from Texas weather, you know, it was glorious.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was like one of the first times I got off stage and I wasn't drenched in sweat. I was like, I feel great. You know, and you can see from the pictures, the wind is like blowing in our hair, you know, and it was an excellent experience all around. So,
Well, I gotta say,
real quick, Jeremy, I'm looking here at Facebook, and you've got a ton of people on here commenting. Jennifer Patterson says, says the album is so good. Wesley Plummer agrees and says it's awesome.
AJ with Rusty Ship says, hey, you know, just want to say hi, keep doing what you're doing.
We got to pseudo meet him at Lifefest.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't get to actually talk, but we saw each other, and we got to watch their set from backstage. They did a great job.
So you're saying you guys are passing ships as a
drive through.
Driving through.
Yes.
Yes, I'm there.
So many comments here. All right, I'm gonna quit focusing on that and get back to you guys. So, go ahead, Jeremy.
Go ahead. So what I was gonna say was, this year was the best year for you guys to come. The weather was perfect. Last year, it was absolutely brutal.
That's what we heard.
Super hot. Yeah, like I barely made it myself.
We were just like scolding hot.
Scolding.
And
comments.
And it was very humid, and just like everybody was just sweating, and they were having, you know, heat exhaustion. And then I think like the year before that, it was like a torrential downpour, and the like tents were flying away. And so, yeah, it was just kind of like after 2 years of the extremes, we got like the
peak.
Yeah, peak weather.
Perfect. Yeah.
And for me, it was like, it wasn't like the weather's great, but it was like the culture too was amazing. I don't mean like Indiana. I mean like the culture within KCF was absolutely incredible. Like it felt like family. Like everybody would come up to you and talk, you know, and like, yeah, it was just a wonderful experience.
We kept talking about how just when we were at the merch table over those 2 days, you could just say hi to somebody as they just walked by. You've never seen them. They've never seen you before. And they would come over and talk to you. Whereas that doesn't happen like anywhere else. And they were so friendly and open and personable. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking like you pass somebody like at the entrance to a grocery store who has like a flyer or something, you're like, hi, I'm growing in over here. And exactly, like, oh, I have to pass them on my way out too. And it was not like that. It was not like that at all. Like, they would come over, stop whatever they were doing, and talk to you for however long, and everybody was so friendly. I know everybody says like, oh, we're a family here. It really was. Like, it really. So to the organizers and everybody who goes there, like, you could tell, like, the spirit of the Lord was in there. Like, it was truly, like, the bride of Christ, like, the family of God there. It was, it really stood out.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got a question for Meg. So you got to do a song with some family members of ours. You sang Chokehold.
Yeah.
With Reclaim the Day. How was it?
We'll talk about that.
I have been searching for video of this.
Oh, because, we haven't.
Because, like, they are seriously family to us. And I seen that you did Chokehold with them. I'm like, I must see this video.
Jennifer has it. Jennifer, didn't you take a video of it if you're still here?
I think I have video of that, too.
I think she took the whole video.
Bro.
He's like, what the heck?
Send it to me. I need to see this.
Yeah, it was really sweet. Becca messaged me on Facebook and she was like, hey, do you want to sing the song with us? And I was like, sure, let's go. And so I just practiced. We had never run through it together. It was the first time. So I had to show up prepared and it was really fun. Yeah. I mean, did I miss the entrance to a peck part? Yeah, absolutely. Did I recover? Yes, I did. You know, it was
great. Amazing. You did amazing.
They were really gracious and they were really fun. So we had a good time.
Good. Yeah, I just seen that and I was like, oh man, I bet that was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Susie's the queen. So I'll take. You know, I'll just take her place for a second, then she can take it back.
I was gonna say, you know, it's hard to replace Zana in that song, but and I've seen a few people sing it with them. If anybody could do it, it would be you.
Aww, thank you. I appreciate that.
I will say over the past year or so since we've been playing songs off the new album, Meg has gotten more and more flowers as she should. And she has been having a harder time receiving these compliments that people give her. And she's been getting better at it each time. And finally, like, real, you know, like, and it's nice to see her growth as an artist.
Oh, thank you.
Taking those compliments in.
Thank you.
And she truly does. God has really given her an incredible gift. And like, it's, indeed. And she's up there with everybody else, and she is her own person. She's not just to be compared to anybody else. She is her own artist. So
absolutely,
she really is. And so are you, Kath. I mean, you're a violin player.
Thank you.
Yeah. Although when we were traveling to other states, we would talk about her being a fiddle player because we're from Texas. She loves that.
It's fine. I don't mind. Ever since I started playing like some more country things with another Christian cover band Michael and I are in, and we started playing like Orange Blossom Special and what's the something about Texas? God Bless Texas. Do you guys know that song? Meg and Greg know it, but I had never heard of it before. I'm from Colorado, so ever since we've been doing that, I'd be like, yeah, it's fine. I can play Phil.
But can you still do the rock face while you're doing the country covers?
I'm not sure if I distinguish my faces for the genre.
Oh, you have some good faces. Aaron has captured them really well, too. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I have never paid attention to it before until it was pointed out. And now every time I see a concert video, I'm like, rock face. Yes.
Yep. 100%. Yeah.
I zoom up. I'm like, okay, where? There it is.
There it is.
You don't even think about it. Yeah, but you're right.
Especially during the fight, right? When she does her bump, 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 bump. I mean, it's like.
Yeah. She has that face. Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. Michael taught me because it's the Meshuggah face kind of. He does it, and so ever since he showed me how to do it, it's become yeah.
Oh, that is awesome.
And not only did you guys do your rock set at KCF, you also did an acoustic set, which was phenomenal. Like,
it was fun.
Yeah.
Was that your first time doing an acoustic set, or?
In a long time.
Yeah.
I would say in this kind of arrangement, like we did one long time ago when they first joined the band. Michael played violin at that show because Kathy had a gig and she couldn't make it. In Oklahoma. It was a long time ago. Boo. So this one, it was cool because we had Kathy on violin and then Michael played viola. Yeah. And so we got kind of like both the treble and the bassier alto-y part. And so it was really cool. Like we had a lot of fun with it. And they're like pros, you know, they have sheet music and everything. Yeah. Greg and I are like,
what's that chord again?
So it was really, really fun. I think everybody really liked it. And we had finished our set and then Angie was like, no, play one more. And so we were like, okay. Yeah. We just added another one.
Yeah.
It's nice to like that occupies like I know we were joking about like different genres and different faces, but it also like it completes you as a musician and as artist. So that's just like we like to do the very up tempo, this kind of face like songs, and then we also like to do like softer, just kind of string quartet ballads too. Like both Come Back For Me and Winter's Hands on the Thresholds album, Michael composed string quartet arrangements for both of those. So it was nice to show people the other kind of our background as well on the acoustic set. Like it just, we get to show off like that we're versatile artists as well. We can do more than one thing, and that's really fun. And Meg like sings some of the songs a little bit differently, different versions of them. So that's really fun. It's really fun for us.
I was gonna say that does show the versatility of you guys that, there's a lot of bands that, metal bands that cannot play the acoustic set just because they're all about the power and they come out strong with everything and they can't make that adjustment. And, from what Jeremy's told me, you guys made that adjustment perfectly. Like everything you did just fit. So that's a real testament to you guys, as musicians, that you're able to do that.
Thank you.
Michael and I were watching, there's this metal band, they're touring with Marilyn Manson. I'm not going to say who they are. I probably shouldn't have said that. There's this metal band who's on tour right now. Just cut that part out.
It's live, Kathy.
We were watching one of their songs on YouTube just yesterday, and I was saying like, you can't just take a song and put a different instrument in there that's kind of an unconventional instrument and expect it to have like a unique voice. And I say that as somebody who plays like
Sometimes
a different instrument, like
it can sound kind of hokey.
yeah, or it sounds like, or like a lot of those AI songs where it just kind of sounds like just kind of like a certain era of Metallica or like whatever butt rock song you can do, and then like it's not always gonna sound what it's not always gonna sorry dab rock or whatever, it's not always gonna sound like you have a unique voice or like something to offer the world. The same is true with acoustic songs. You can't just take like your what you usually do with a song and just throw an acoustic guitar on it and expect it to sound differently. You actually have to put thought into it and like adjust it for that venue and that genre, and that's something we really enjoy doing. And so, and also it's powerful in a different way. Like I come from a long line of violinists on my mom's side. My grandma would always say when I was growing up, like playing something slow is so much harder than playing it fast.
Same with singing.
And you have to think about so many things, and your focus has to be different. It's different, but not everybody realizes how different and how difficult it can be. And that's something we really enjoy and we think about specifically. So, yeah, we enjoy it. We really like it.
I mean, look in, I don't know, you guys have probably heard of this band, but it's Apocalyptica.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, like their early stuff where they were just covering Metallica songs on cello. Oh, I mean, one of the first times I seen something like that was, I don't know if you guys have heard of Poe. From back in the day, she was like a late 90s, early 2000s solo artist. She had a cello player in her band, and they literally came out and played Crazy Train on the cello, and she sang it, and I was like, why does this work? But it does.
They worked on it. They worked on how to make it work.
Yeah,
That's cool.
Wolves of the Gate is a really
That's my
good
favorite.
band to like kind of do a comparison of like a really, really heavy metal song, and then
Acoustic version.
but then they make an acoustic version and it's completely different and it's got a completely different, like almost even a different chord structure. But then like the chorus pops in and you're like,
It's the same song.
I recognize this, like I understand it, but artistically it's like they went you know, 90 degree different direction, you know.
And they nailed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So good inspiration if you're thinking like, how do I do metal and, you know, rock and roll at the same time? Yeah.
For sure. All right, Jeremy.
What's your favorite song on the album? I know that's like asking who's your favorite kid.
Who wants to go first?
Michael will go first.
I mean, like, I feel like it changes, but like I go between the heavier ones, so like Terrified or like the Interlude are like my favorites. They're just so like primal, you know? And like just makes you want to like throw something. those are my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it also depends on the day for sure, and it depends what you're feeling. And that's why we do like different feelings in each song. It comes from a different story and a different environment. I mean, it feels so dumb to say, but like, that's the great thing about music. You know, you're not going to listen to the same song every day for a year. I don't personally.
Clearly you underestimate me.
But since we released the album at the end of June, June 30th, like, it seems like people have really resonated with Dark and Me, and that's a killer one. It's so good. And Meg fought for that one to be like one of the singles we released before the album. And we decided not to go with that one. And as it released, we're like, oh, right, this is so good.
Yeah, that one's definitely been my favorite on their album. It was the second one we recorded ever, and it was just really personal to me. And I feel like Michael's guitar work on that song particularly is just so good. It's like ear candy, and then it opens up into this like big chorus, and then it has this really pretty violin right before you get punched in the face with the breakdown. And we nicknamed the breakdown Big Heavy because it's just like literally like the bottom falls out. And I don't know, I think this song is clever lyrically and the melody's like memorable. So yeah, Dark and Me's my top song on the record, but obviously I have a special place for all of them.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the violin solo on that one is I recorded one take, and it was just kind of in the studio, just kind of hearing. I hadn't come up with something beforehand, and then I went to do another one, and I didn't want to, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I could do this differently, so it wasn't going to be a perfect like one for one stacking on top like we usually do. And so it was slightly different, and the timing was slightly different, but then when we played them together, it kind of sounded like a delay that we meant to do. And it kind of like went like a snake, kind of went in and out and curved around each other. And we're like, wait, this is actually super cool. And it was completely unintentional. Hadn't thought about it before. So we left that in. And I really, really like that part. And it's not like a blazing violin solo. I don't really like any of those. Yeah, it's floaty and lyrical.
It does have a guitar solo too. So it's like all of our elements in one song. So.
Yeah. Anyway, but Greg, what's your favorite song?
My favorite one's New Fire for sure. I think it's the last song on the album. It kind of artistically culminates like all the songs into one like final song that's about, you know, like rekindling this fire inside of you and, you know, coming up like pursuing the Lord through the hard, difficult things that life brings. And obviously, you know, it starts with the enemy at your door, so you understand who the enemy is, you know, in your marriage or in your family. I love that just artistically in and of itself. That is awesome. And then just, you know, like we called it Thal for a while because of the breakdown is very Thal-like. So if you ever listened to Thal metal, Thall, it's very like it's kind of like the next level of djent, if you would say. It rhythmically it's all over the place, and but then like it almost still has this head banging like, you know, 4/4 kind of feel, but the song's in 6/8. So that's another artistic thing about the song that was pretty sweet. And I just all around, I got to help write the core, the bridge.
He has never written lyrics in his life, but he's on to this till he dies. Yeah. He got to help me. He pretty much wrote the bridge.
Yeah.
Screaming part.
So,
it's like Kevin Lyrics now.
And it was cool to just like writing that song and then watching Meg scream the lyrics in the booth, because we were like, all right, Meg, it needs to be like
gorilla
noise. like inaudible lyrics, like just kind of thing. And we just remember that first like guttural coming out of Meg, where it's like, who is that? Who's in the booth? it was great.
Michael was like, when Michael like wants to, I don't know if I can say this, and Michael's like, yes, I need to poop my pants. Yeah. That's when I know I've made it.
Yeah.
If I've impressed Michael.
Yeah.
If your bandmates are wetting themselves, you have arrived.
Right?
I mean, that's how I know we have a good podcast. If I walk out of here with wet pants, I'm like.
So funny.
Well, I mean, Jeremy, what's your favorite song on the album?
That's hard to say. It depends on.
He's the like, day. I don't know. Like, I haven't listened to it.
Are you kidding me? I pretty much had the entire thing memorized from. I don't know. I kind of like the one you guys sing together. Come Back for Me.
Corey actually sang on that one with us.
Yeah.
Somebody said that was you singing.
Yes.
Yes.
It was... No, that one reviewer, he didn't ask us before he did the review, and he just kind of
typed it out. He got a lot of it right. Got a lot of it right, but Corey actually sang vocals on that one. Greg can sing. He won't sing, though.
I mean, for me, my favorite two songs on there, and it's a toss-up for me, honestly, is Dark and Me, like, love that song, and then New Fire. Like, they're all fantastic, but those two, there's some, like you guys have said, I mean, you mentioned them both. It's just like, they're both great in different ways. By the way, Jennifer says that if you guys want to see the video of you singing Chokehold, she's going to post it in our Discord. So if anyone's on Discord, join ours.
Right?
Yeah.
Chad Fenner said he loves Dark.
Dark and Me.
Dark and Me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's right. Chad, we brought you over to the super heavy side.
And I want to apologize real quick. My wife and daughter just got home from VBS, and my dogs are going crazy in the background.
Oh, I can't even hear them.
You can't even hear them.
Like, that's all I hear in my headphones is... So anyways, so now that you guys have released the Thresholds, what comes next? When's the new music coming out?
So we're recording with our producer Corey the second week of August. He's coming up here, and we have about Michael's working on a song.
I worked on it today.
Yeah. I think we have about 3/4 of the song written so far.
Yeah, we're getting there.
There's a couple ideas that I've sent Michael. There's, unsurprisingly, if you know anything about me, you know I love birds, and unsurprisingly, both the ideas are from birds. I haven't told Megan Greg this yet, but there's these two videos that I found that I was like, ooh. This could be really cool. One is a rhythm that a dove does when they're trying to like
get it. You get inspired from that guy that wrote all those riffs from the bird chirping? Because those are
Tom McGovern. No, he's great. No, but not that. It was actual like this rhythm that this dove was doing while drinking water. And then this other one is this. He was in the Amazon rainforest. This other bird does this kind of like half descending scale. And just the rhythm of it one night, I was like, ooh. This is good.
Okay.
I was completely being a smart aleck asking when the next when new music comes out, and you're like, oh yeah, we're already writing it.
We're already working on it. Yeah.
Well, we do have one recorded.
We have two.
Yeah. And we have some demos that we're like, man, we should record these still, you know? Yeah. But so there's stuff in the works. It's coming.
So in Christmas, so we recorded a cover of Mary Did You Know that's already
been. We haven't announced that yet.
Oh, sorry.
Surprise.
We recorded a Christmas song. Surprise.
All right, everyone forget that you heard that. You heard nothing.
No, it's an interesting thing.
A Christmas song. And then another song that we'll release sometime in the new year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you guys do have a new single out, right? What is the single? Because, you know, we haven't gotten it yet. Well, so I don't know what it is.
Technically, the one we're promoting with the record is Dark in Me.
Yeah.
So with the album drop, that's the one we're pushing to radio stations, or if anybody's asking what our current single, we're telling them it's Dark in Me right now.
Mm-hmm. We can send that to you.
Yep.
Cool.
And we have some visualizers and things like that are in the works for the current album.
Dark in Me has one.
Yeah.
Bring Me Down has one. And then we have two like real short ones for the intro and interlude that we're just still working with our videographer to get them done.
Yep, edited.
Mm-hmm. But they've been filmed,
yeah.
They've already been filmed.
So those will be fine.
So speaking about the interlude, who's the guy that's talking in that?
That's it's not me. It's
I love how Jeremy says, "Who's the guy?" And all of a sudden it's like
Kathy, yeah, it's actually a girl.
Kathy, is there something you want to tell us?
Yes.
While we were writing, at the end of us writing the album, because it took quite a long time to write, I was deep writing my dissertation for my doctorate. And so I was very much in having to put, I would write something and then I'd have to cite it, right? Like in your bibliography and like in your footnotes and everything like that. So I was trying to find, I reached out to a couple pastors we knew to see if they wanted to do like a spoken word thing or like kind of fire and brimstone type of preaching that we would intermix in this interlude. But then we decided to go with this pastor that I found who was at Duke Divinity School at the turn of the last century. So this was recorded in 2000, I believe. And it was a sermon titled The Fall of the House of David. So it's a play on the fall of the House of Usher by Edgar Allan Poe. But he just goes through how David's actions and everything he did affected history and throughout the Bible and everything in his own immediate family, like with Bathsheba and Tamar and all of his sons and stuff like that. And that just worked perfectly with our concept of this album, since it's a concept album. Everything is about things that we don't always talk about, but that happen in the home: dementia, infertility and miscarriage, domestic violence, anger, and disunity that happens because of like Satan drawing us apart because of politics and different opinions about our country. And so that just worked perfectly. And so his name is John Mark Jones. And unfortunately, I think he has passed. I called Duke to see if it was, it said it was public. This is more information than you want.
Oh, no, this is perfect.
It's all good.
I called Duke to be sure that it was public domain. It said on the website it was. And when you're writing a big paper like a dissertation, you have to be sure all your T's are crossed and your I's and J's are dotted. So it's, you know, it's a peer reviewed on many, many different levels paper. And so I wanted to be sure we did everything by the book. And so I called them and they said, we've tried to get in contact with his family. We think he's probably passed because we never have been able to get in contact with him. But his legacy still is on the internet, and it's an incredible, incredible sermon. And we were able to take little bits of it and be like, chunk, chunk, And then he'd say a little bit of something, and it's
Originally, it
so
was,
befriending.
and originally in the demo I had created, it was Charlie
Charlie.
Chap. Yeah, I named it Charlie Chaps My Hides, and
It was from The Great Dictator, Charlie Chaplin's like satire of what was going on in Europe in the 30s and 40s.
We have a lot of joke names with our working titles. So, yeah. And then we have to remember what the real names of the songs are.
Terrified was Can We Be a Hardcore Band, and so like on everything, like I put the acronym, so C
CWB.
Because it's based on like a hardcore riff, and both Michael and I really love the hardcore genre in metal, and Meg had a hard time figuring out. You tell.
I did. I was like, how am I supposed to write to this? So I'd be driving in my car listening to it, and I'm like, all right, God, you gotta give me something. Like, I don't know how to write to this.
Because we didn't write none of the songs that we wrote for this album, all of them were included. None of them were thrown away. So like everything that like we sent to Meg or that Meg sent to Michael and us as instrumentalists, it's all included. So she was just she kind of had to put something to it. But it was a great like exercise for all of us to adapt and overcome.
I love that you guys tackle the topics that are hard to tackle. Like you guys talk about a lot of stuff that people don't necessarily like talk about. I was actually recommending you guys' music to some people at church. You know, we just got to talking about, Christian music, and they know I'm a metalhead, and they're like, okay, so what draws you to Christian metal? And I was like, listen, they talk about topics that you're not going to tune into mainstream radio and get. You're going to get the Jesus as my boyfriend music, where it's all Jesus cuddle me, Jesus hold my hand, Jesus carry me. I said, perfect band here, Drive Thru Society. Go and listen to their music. They hit the tough topics and they do it so beautifully that it'll take you through this journey. And I don't know if the guy's listened to it yet or not, but he was just like, all right, I'll check it out. But I've talked about you guys to so many people
Thank
just
you.
because you guys do hit those topics that nobody really, they're like, well, that's not what Christian music's about. Yes, it is. We all deal with these topics. Why shouldn't you guys talk about it? And you guys do, and you do it beautifully.
Thank
No, thank
you.
you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most of it is like a therapy session for me because I just write in order to help like process a lot of my emotions when I'm going through things. And so if you're like, wow, this song hits home, and it's like, well, it's because it came from someone who was literally going through it, or knew someone that was walking through it. Like I've never experienced domestic violence. Like Greg is awesome. But a really, really close family member went through a really, really bad situation. And so like I wrote it from her perspective, of like what that was like. And I mean, when we played it for her, it was so sweet. She like cried because she was like, yeah, this is exactly how it felt, So we just like when we were laying out the album, we were like, man, I hope people don't think that we're just like angry, depressed people because we're actually really goofy and really happy. But like our whole goal was to like talk about it, but not stay there. Like God walks through us through the valley, but then we want to provide people with the hope that he's still with you, even when crap hits the fan. He's still with you even when everything sucks and it's not pretty,
Yeah,
So
for sure. And
hopefully.
you can see that in your songs. You can see going through the struggle and you come out of it in the end. And by the way, we just had this real weird person join our chat group here.
Yeah, on Facebook.
Someone named Becca says you guys are an awesome band.
Hi.
Hey, Becca.
Weird person. No, I'm kidding.
We love Becca, so
Yes.
We do. We do. She's
yeah.
since day one, she's been one of our biggest supporters.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, she's great.
So Sorry, Jeremy, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, just talking about Becca, since as long as we've known her, which is what, going on 5 years, Jason?
5 years, yeah.
Like that. She has been one of our biggest supporters. You know, she's come up here several times and played shows. And
yeah.
We'd love to have her back. We'd love to have you guys come up here and play in Michigan. So.
Yeah. We'll be in Ohio in September, but that's not super close.
It's not in Michigan.
It's like 5 hours, six hours from y'all, right?
Yeah, but it's Ohio, is it?
Yeah.
not that I can talk. Michigan's not much better. Not gonna
what
lie.
What part of the state are you guys in? Because my coworker lives outside of Detroit.
We are
we're in Flint.
Yeah,
we're Flint. Flint. Salt Creek, so about an hour north of Detroit.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, I had a question and I completely forgot it. Jeremy? Go ahead, Jeremy. Sorry, I'll think of it.
No, Chad Fenner says, we all love Becca. Jennifer Walter says, hey, guys.
Hey. Jennifer, oh, hey!
So, man. Speaking of Chad, like, he's an amazing photographer.
In person.
Yeah. So like all the shirts that we wore for the David Patacone tribute, Chad actually paid for those. Which Chad, awesome. I still owe you money for that. So
that sounds like something Chad would do.
Yep.
100%. I love that.
He came up with the concept and said he was gonna pay for them all, and if anybody wanted to pay, you know, it was totally up to everybody. But Chad, I'm gonna get you the money. I just keep forgetting.
Chad loves this scene. I feel like he is one of the biggest advocates in the Christian rock, Christian metal scene. And he has been for a long time. Like, he is consistent. He is in it. And he literally just makes you feel like the most important person when you talk to him. So it's like, he knew us for our very first show. Like, how many? 11 years ago? He was there for our very, very first show. We were terrible. We didn't know what we were doing. I'm sure we messed up a million times. But he was like, where have you guys been? And just like ever since then, you know, like we have a love for Chad. And he's not that far from us, so.
Yeah.
Hmm. And he's got a fantastic calendar, too.
Yes.
Kathy's in it.
She's not quite doing the rock face, though. I was a little bummed about that. I'm like, where is the rock face?
The last year has been a year of big growth for me on stage. Like, it's and Chad always remarks on it, which is very, very encouraging, because it's been difficult as someone who started only in classical music. I loved rock and roll, and I grew up listening to it with my parents. My mom is from Detroit, so she grew up with that Motown sound, and my dad was always a rocker. He loved classic rock and blues, and so I always grew up with those sounds, and I always wanted to be in a band, but I never knew if it would happen. And so it's been difficult. Like, that first, Meg was talking about the first show that Chad saw them, and then when Michael and I joined, the first show that we were in, I look at those photos and we watched them as a band. Some of our first performances, like when we were in at Life Fest in Wisconsin, and there were moments where I was like, please, can we turn this off? And Meg was like, no, you guys watched us. And some of the earlier shows, you have to cringe with us through this. So it's been, thankfully, like I'm glad that I've been, that being with them for so long, that they've stuck with me through my own personal growth on stage. Like, it's been a journey for sure.
I feel like
Chad just said, oh my, Kathy, every show you get better and better with your onstage persona.
Yeah.
And he says he loves all of you guys. So.
Well, we love you.
Yeah.
I feel like we've all like gotten pretty good this summer, like, cause we've played so much over the summer. And so like we've learned these like idiosyncrasies, like, oh, we're playing this song, okay, these things happen, you know. We played Plastic and we have like some choreograph, you know, that goes with that, and like,
we didn't necessarily talk about it, it just kind of happened organically.
Yeah,
just moving around each other on stage. There's, I mean, when we play Plastic, like, there, it's very choreographed, like we've talked about it and how it goes, but there's just been some things, and we've talked a little bit about this and that, and I've worked on like this back bend that that I've been doing, and it goes okay. But Chad and Aaron both captured like some really good pictures, that it makes it look really, really cool.
Thank God for wireless systems.
Yes, that's a huge practically that's a huge part. That's a huge part. You're not tethered to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we still run into each other. Like, there's probably a picture going out there around somewhere where Meg, she flung her head back and hit my guitar at Chains. And I went up to the front and I let the light shine on my guitar, and there's this huge red glob of hair stuck to my capo. And I'm like, I hope Meg's okay.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's a photo of Aaron that I like. I was looking behind me, and Meg and Kathy were back there, and it looked like they had like ran into each other.
The three of us ran into each other at Chains Unchained, and it is a pretty cute photo. But if you know the behind the scenes, you know that like I smacked Meg with my scroll, or maybe you smacked me with your headstock, or both things
Something.
Happened.
It was fine.
Yeah,
we no blood. There's no blood.
Yeah.
So I finally remembered the question I was going to ask.
Okay.
Being that you guys are so incredibly talented, how does the writing process go for you? Because I'm sure, like, Kathy, you come up with something, you send it to Meg, or you send it to Michael, and they're like, oh, yes, but this. Like, what's that process like for you guys? Because, I mean, like, me, I'm not that talented. So I love asking people, like, what's that process like for you? How do you guys go through that?
Well, it depends on the song. For this last album, there were some songs that Michael primarily wrote all the guitars and bass and drums, and then I would add little things here and there, or we would work together on some ideas and then send it to Meg, and then she would do the vocal melodies. And then sometimes Meg would already have like a melody and lyrics already out, and she would send it to Michael and he would kind of reverse engineer it. And there was another song. Well, Meg, tell them about the other song that you and Greg had already written and that we kind of redid.
Sorry, my kid's crying. Sorry, we just heard a crying, and I was like, yeah. Maybe we should go check out.
I think they're okay.
Okay, but yeah, so we had, back in like 2017, there was this, we haven't really shared a lot about this story, but we had actually recorded a full length with another band, and,
Greg
and I did, before Michael and Kathy, and before we could really get off the ground with that project, it kind of imploded, I'll say that nicely. And some of the songs, we were able, like, we weren't able to take them with us. Legally, we could have. We sought some counsel, but we chose not to because we were going to lose a lot of money, and it didn't feel right to do that. So, but they just scratched all my melodies and stuff, got a new singer, and then they released the album with all of his writing on there. So we had all these lyrical melodies that had no music because the other band took it all. So we were like, how can we like revamp this? So I basically just sang the vocal line to a metronome, sent it to Michael, and I was like, here, come up with something, because I really like this melody, I really like the story. And that's exactly what happened with Come Back For Me. That was literally one where I just sang the whole song, and then I sent it to Michael, and he wrote the string quartet underneath it. Because I wanted it to be a little bit more ballady, and he nailed it. And like Terrified was also one of those songs lyrically, but the lyrics and melody I had didn't work with what we were writing. So I basically just kept the lyrics and rewrote the whole melody over Michael's music. So there was a lot of that. Know You, I actually had written pretty much the whole song on just an acoustic guitar with a melody and lyrics, and I sent it to Michael, and he's the one that came up with the music. But there was a lot that Michael sent to me. So in the beginning stages, I feel like it's a lot of Michael and I, guitar work wise and lyrics wise. And then Kathy and Greg kind of sprinkle on top with the guitars or, you know, the violin. It's kind of, we kind of build on that. And sometimes it may even change in the studio, but for the most part, I feel like in the beginning, we have to get some type of guitar and vocal melody down before we can really explore a ton with the rest of it.
Yeah. Usually when Michael's writing at home, like he'll show me what he has and we'll tweak little, I shouldn't take a lot of credit. He does most of it and we'll talk about like little tweaks here and there, or I'll be like, hey, what if you do this? And he'll tweak a little bit here and there or little things. But it's mostly him for guitars, bass, and drums. And then sometimes like I'll listen to what he's written and what Meg puts down for so long that in your ear, you're like, that's how the song goes. And you can't hear anything else. Usually like for me, when I'm putting down something for a new song, like if I hear something right away, if I come up with something immediately, that's my strongest inclination, and that's usually the one I try to go with. Sometimes I'll hear something and I can't hear anything else. So then when that happens in the studio, like Corey and I will start together and he'll sing something. I'll be like, oh, and then I'll build on that, or we'll like work on that idea together. And he's a fantastic collaborator for all of us, but I really enjoy seeing what he comes up with when I can't hear anything. Yeah. And then we start to get going.
Yeah. And Greg and I used to do all the writing before Michael and Kathy got here. But Greg's been in school. And so a lot of the writing fell on Michael, primarily. So Greg's kind of done like sprinkle things like guitar solos or things like that here and there. But he was actually just working on the guitar solo for the Christmas song yesterday. So, you know, it's like he's still involved in the writing process. It's just a little different since he's been in school. And now that he's out, he's like wanting to stretch that muscle again and help Michael write.
I want to hear it. I want to hear what he made.
I haven't even heard it yet.
Oh,
and I live with it.
Unnamed Christmas song.
Unnamed.
Yeah. Well, unnamed. I just looked at the time and we are quickly running out of time. So
sorry, we talk a lot.
No. Love it. So I'm going to say, Jeremy, you got any last questions before we move into prayer?
Nope, but I'm going to throw this out real quick. Here's what Chad Fenner just wrote. He said, I'll throw in that when they play the older stuff with Kathy's violin, it feels like the violin is added, but the new stuff has Kathy's violin integrated in the song from beginning to end, and it really comes out so much better.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. I would definitely agree for sure. And we did it on purpose. Yeah. So
love it. All right. So I'm going to ask you guys, how can we be praying for you?
I mentioned like, we're going to start recording in a couple weeks, the second week of August. So just for prayers for the whole band that we don't ever fight, but I guess it could always happen. I don't know. Just that we would, I don't know.
Get ready.
Yeah. Just that like, God would be in the recording process. And, sometimes we can get to joking and the jokes go too far. So like, just that God would always be there with us and we'd stay focused on him and our priorities with him. And, and Michael and I are also traveling to Colorado next week for a family reunion. And we're going to meet up with Glenn Gizzy. We're really excited. He used to be in
Phineas.
And so he also lives in Colorado. So we met him because Michael and I are doing a song with The Light Superior. on their upcoming album, and he's their producer. And so at the end of May, we were recording that with them, and we met him, and he's a super cool guy. And so we're going to hang out with him in Colorado, maybe record something. I don't know. We'll see. But just like travel prayers for that.
If you could pray for my leg, that would be awesome. It's coming along. It's the day. He's coming along. But just for healing would be nice.
He's still on crutches, so.
Yeah.
For sure. All right.
Oh, and travel for Miles, because he's coming back from Brazil.
He's already back.
I was going to ask where he was.
Yeah. We texted him, and he was still at work, so he must have had a really late job today, so he didn't get to make it.
But still, like, he's coming from, like, a big trip, and it's not, like, a big time difference, but just getting back into the swing of things after being that long is
Okay. Yeah, I would, for me, as we're riding, like, on our way back from Wisconsin, I just was trying to pray and ask God for some discernment. I feel like this album, we talked about a lot of hard topics. Personally, we shared a lot of stories. So I was asking God, like, hey, we're working on writing a new record. Like, what do you want me to say? What do you want this to be about? And, you know, it's a little scary, but he was like, I want you to be more bold. And I want you to challenge and embolden my people to, like, not be apathetic. Mm. And I was like, okay, like, what does that mean? And so I feel like these are going to be a little, like, the songs might be a little more pointed and aggressive in, like, challenging the people of God to not just be apathetic to the sin and the stuff that's in the world. So just pray that I can write it a good, delicate balance of, like, inspiring people and encouraging them while also, like, not feel like I'm their mom and, like, getting onto them. You know, so using scripture in a way that emboldens and empowers people as we're writing. And so, yeah, just be praying for that in the next couple weeks as we're gearing up to record more.
Last but not least, how can we be praying for you?
Let's see. Prayer request.
Where do we start?
for me, so I just graduated from
congrats
from college, and so trying to figure out like I have these plans and I have, you know, these things, you know, but as I'm reminded, the Lord establishes my footsteps even though I make all the plans in the world. So just praying through the footsteps, you know, and as we're, you know, obviously recording stuff, you know, and I, you know, during last recording stuff, you know, I didn't get to record a lot. I got to be there, which was awesome. So maybe, you know, just, I gotta work the writing muscle, you know, and so maybe I can help, you know, Michael write some cool riffs and things like that. Prayer for a clear head to, you know, write down some sick melodies, and, you know, and then too, like, I, you know, my artistic brain, you know, I desire, like, I can see big picture sometimes, and so trying to get, like, the fine details down is hard. So and sometimes I just want to play guitar solo the whole time, and, you know, Kathy has to reel me in, you know, sometimes. So, you know, so there.
Yeah.
Those would be good.
For sure. Okay, we'll be praying for all that. And real quick, Jennifer, do not go back as soon as this video's over and try and find where Kathy may or may not have let slip the name of the Christmas song.
It's already out. It's already out there.
Yep.
Listen. Do not go back before I delete the video off from Facebook. Don't do it.
It
never happened.
It'll be an exclusive preview.
Yeah.
They have to watch the show in order to figure out what it is.
Yeah, and then you can make a comment. Comment below what the new song is.
Like and subscribe.
That's right. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, because I'm sure my wife is ready for me to get offline. So, anyways, great and heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Drive Through Society, Lord. I thank you for their music. I thank you for the talent that you have given them. They are such a blessing to so many people. Lord, I ask you just continue to watch over them as they write this new music. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless them as they create this unnamed Christmas song that we shall not name. Lord, just continue to bless them through that. Lord, help them to bring honor and glory to you. I ask that you watch over Michael and just heal his leg. Lord, bring him back to full health. Lord, watch over him and Kathy as they head to Colorado. Just protect them on that trip. Help them to just be a blessing to all out there and help them to have a good time. Lord, I thank you for the graduation and just the footsteps following that path of where you want him to go, Lord. And above all else, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, coming to die for our sins. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for being on. A little bit of housekeeping real quick. Kira, we missed you tonight. Hopefully you'll be back on next week. We understand you had to work, but we missed you. Yes. Jeremy, it's good having you on, bro. I know normally you're at work, but it's so good seeing your face on here.
Yeah, thank you. Great to see you.
Yeah,
good to see you guys too.
And to you guys, this is always such an honor and such a blessing to us to have you on.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You so much. And don't go anywhere when the live stream's over, because remember, we got a little bit more talking to do. Yeah. For those watching and listening, I just want to thank you all for tuning in. And remember, if you're going to rock, rock for him.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below. And don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're going to rock, rock for him.
Stay tuned, because next week we talk to Aaron Parker.